evening. Come right on in, get to have a seat. We'll get started here in a few moments. Good to have some of our folks back that have been traveling and some of our snowbirds and potential snowbirds. Glad you're back. So pray for the others who are still traveling. More in the service. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go ahead and start our song service tonight. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness and your blessings upon us, the joy and the privilege to serve you. Father, thank you that we can come to a place, Lord, though it would be cool outside and a little misty or a little rainy, we have a building that's warm, padded pews and seats to sit in. Lord, just help us not to take these things for granted. And Lord, just help us enjoy our time of fellowship and worship together tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles tonight and your handouts, we'll turn over to the book of Proverbs. And we'll pick up where we left off last time. For those who haven't been here in a little while or those who are visiting for the first time, we're studying through the book of Proverbs, but not verse by verse, but by topic. And we're going through we'll spent several weeks on it already, and we'll continue through the book of Proverbs, but we're talking about Proverbs on abundance. And last time we were together, over the weeks, we looked at the gems, G-E-M-S, or the gems or the treasures of abundance. And then we started a couple weeks ago, the problems of abundance, and we talked about violent and ruthless men. Then we talked about filled and loathing men. And tonight we'll go a little further. And so, ladies, don't turn me off. I am talking mainly to the men. I am. But I think many of these principles apply to men as well as women. So don't feel like it's just the men that need this, even though we do. But ladies may as well. But I'll be a little more pointed, a little more focused toward the men tonight. So let's read our verse of scripture. And then we'll continue. Proverbs chapter 29, it should be in your handout there as well. Proverbs 29 and verse number 22. Proverbs 29 and verse number 22. The Bible says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So letter C, or the next point as we continue through this series, furious men and men that lack self-control. Furious men and men that lack self-control. I'm sure you know some men who have these problems, maybe even some young men who have the problem with impulsiveness and self-control. And then, of course, the furious, the anger, the irritation, the irrational. We'll talk about some of those things tonight. Fury creates a loss of poise and self-control. When we lose control, we're not under control. We lose those things. When men lose self-control, the door is left wide open to all kinds of sin and offensive behavior. Fury has fanned the flames of murder, war. It's also been a problem with wife and child abuse, fighting with friends and family, harsh and hateful words, divorce, and the list goes on and on and on. So fury creates a loss of poise and self-control. And also fury hardens the hearts of men toward the Lord. Fury hardens the heart of men toward the Lord. When we get to where we're furious and angry and out of control, there's times when we get not only frustrated with ourselves, but everyone around us, and even we can become hardened to the Lord. Speaking or acting impulsively generally leads to sin. Let me say that again. Generally speaking, impulsiveness can lead to the sin. Angry men are too confused and enraged to examine and check their words or action by wisdom. And that, I've mentioned this a few weeks ago. We've all said at one time or another, we wish that we had a remote control where we could reach out and grab the words we've said, not meaning to, before anyone hears it. Again, angry men react with profane instincts of their depraved hearts, and sin is a certain result when we act this way. Even Moses allowed Israel to provoke him to speak unadvisedly with his lips and strike the rock that God had told him to address. Sometimes our fury may be caused by others, but we can't blame them for our lack of self-control and poise under fire. I talked to a young preacher this past week and have been ongoing for weeks now. And we talked about sometimes it doesn't help to defend yourself. Sometimes it's better to not say a word and let those around you to defend you, let others defend you, because sometimes, especially when you're in leadership or when you're a pastor, there's no defending. There's really not much you can say because it looks exactly like you're deflecting or offending. It's important that we make sure that we don't allow things around us to curb or cause us to react. It is cool and calm reflection that leads to wisdom and caution, not the passion of fury or anger. Doing what is wrong comes easy for us because we have a sin nature. That blasted sin nature, it aids in that. That's why it's important to be under self-control and not allow fury or anger to control us. It is the Holy Spirit that helps the Christian to restrain his fleshly nature. And gentlemen, sometimes it's our wife under the table kicking our shins. But whatever it may be, allow the kick, the nudge, the wink, the nod, but especially the Holy Spirit that helps a believer to restrain his fleshly nature. If the Christian quenches or grieves the Holy Spirit and lets fury grip their hearts or his heart, then he or she is capable of doing things that any unsaved person could do. Just because we're saved doesn't make us immune to fury, to anger, to losing our temper. It doesn't make us immune, but we do have an aid. And sometimes the first step is biting our tongue. Sometimes the first step is taking a step back and saying, Lord, help me. But it's important that we don't allow fury to take control. Our fury and anger not only affects us, it affects others around us. Again, the hatred, the anger, the losing of our temper, it's the one around us that we are unleashing on. Bitterness is infectious. Allowing bitterness to well up in your heart, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about that as well, about allowing that root of bitterness to swell up within our hearts and cause us to respond a certain way. Hanging around angry people is dangerous to your spiritual health. Those who have problems with anger, problems with fury, can be contagious. Because when we do this, we risk being infected by their fury or of anger and bitterness. We went through a time in our country where we were mandated to wear masks and do certain things to protect us from something. And as believers, sometimes we just need to realize sometimes it's better just to walk away. To just not maybe to develop a friendship that may be starting when we see the anger, the fury that could affect us as well. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man. Doesn't say we can't be friendly toward, but make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. In other words, unless you pick up his bad habits. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'd like to share an illustration I was able to find and dig up. You'll find out right away that it's an old illustration when I use payphone and putting a quarter in. You know it's an old illustration, but I've tried to change the names to protect the innocent tonight. Two friends named Daryl and Kevin were drinking coffee at a all-night Starbucks. The illustration said pool hall, but I changed it to Starbucks. Anyway, they got into a discussion about the difference between irritation, anger, and rage. At about 1 in the morning, Daryl said, "Look, Kevin, I'll show you an example of irritation." He went to the payphone and put in a coin and dialed a number at random. The phone rang, and then, by the way, I did say it wasn't a true story, right? Okay. The phone rang and rang, and finally, when a sleepy voice at the other end answered, Daryl said, "I'd like to speak to Carter." And Brother Carter's not here tonight. "There's no one here named Carter," the disgruntled man replied and hung up the phone. "That," Daryl said to Kevin, "is a man who's irritated." An hour later at 2 in the morning, Daryl said, "Now I'll show you a man who is angry." I'm not sure if the coffee had any effect on this or not, but we'll go with the story. Daryl went to the phone, dialed the same number, and let it ring and ring and ring and ring. Eventually, the same sleepy voice answered the phone, and Daryl asked, "May I please speak to Carter?" "There's no one here named Carter," came a loud, angry voice. and the man slammed down the receiver. There, as we can tell, is some frustration and anger. An hour later, at 3 a.m, Daryl said, "Kevin, now I'll show you an example of rage." Daryl goes to the phone, dialed the same number, and let it ring. When the sleepy man finally answered, Daryl said, "Hi, this is Carter, if I had any calls from anyone." So there's no doubt we can provoke irritation. We can provoke anger. We can provoke rage. And that's not something we should make a habit of, even when we're trying to give an illustration. You know, it's so important that we realize our limits with anger, with rage. It's realizing that the things that trigger us or cause us a problem. There's nothing wrong with asking for assistance or help when things frustrate you and helping you and asking for prayer to help me get over my anger. So yes. Oh, my goodness. I knew I shouldn't have called on you. So let me ask some questions. And I think with your notes, I made it first person for you to take home and read over and look at another time. But I'll read as I have it here in my notes. So some problems and questions here. Are you an angry man? Are you an angry person? Do you speak or strike impulsively? Do you yell at your wife or your children? Do you say harsh things that others question or others condemn? Do others crave your presence or do they avoid you? Are you known as a gracious or a difficult man? Do your wife and children tell you all that they are thinking? Do you rule by intimidation or by affection? Does your wife stay with you because she has to or because she wants to? Again, are you an angry man? Are you an angry person? The problems of abundance. Furious men and men that lack self-control. It's important that we learn our limits of anger and frustration. What would keep us from that? And again, we live in technology in an age today that we don't always have to just turn to the back of our Bible and look at the word anger or look at fury to look at verses. It's so easy just to type it in with AI and type in the computer about verses that deal with anger to give you some. It's a good idea just to write some of those verses down, or even our text verse that we talked about tonight. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Lord, help me to control my anger that I will not stir up strife. Help me to let things go when they may usually bother me. Lord, help me to not to be furious or to be around those who may trigger or cause me to be impatient, angry, or irritated. I do not want to fall into transgressions. Number two, or the second portion, furious men and men that lack self-control. Again, this is problems of abundance. Being abundantly furious, having things in your life that causes those things. And then the next saying, a house of feasting and conflict. Problems of abundance. A house of feasting and conflict. Proverbs 17 and verse 1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. You know, it really doesn't matter if you have plenty of everything. It doesn't matter if the table is spread with abundance every time you eat. It's better to have a dry morsel and lack a few things and have quietness than to have all these things in chaos. Solomon says it's better to have a meager and quiet meal in peace than to have a house that, as I've said, that has abundant feasting with strife and with conflict. The word sacrifice is a reference to the temple, as we study this here in Proverbs. And the meat of the peace offerings was a feast for the entire family and friends of the person who offered the sacrifice unto the Lord. This was a very special and wonderful time for everyone. Such pleasure could be destroyed, however, by strife and contention. You know how it is. You set the table, ladies. You've prepared all day. You've made this wonderful feast and meal for your family. But it seems like even with all the effort and all the work, sometimes strife can ruin a peaceful and wonderful meal that you were looking at. It's important that we have self-control. Solomon is stressing the value of quietness and peace in comparison to abundance and strife. We've all heard the phrase, sometimes it's better that you just don't say anything at all. And sometimes it's better that we hold our peace. There's value in that. In your home, in your marriage, or even your church, if they are characterized by love, unity, peace, even though you may not have much, you have something more precious than a home, a marriage, or a church that has an abundance of wealth and size, yet is filled with disunity, division, and conflict. Abundance can often bring deterioration of moral and ethical standards, as well as an increase of envy and strife. I can remember being in the mission field in third world countries, and I can remember one particular time wanting to have a fellowship at the church. But my biggest concern was, if we have a fellowship and we bring food and have a meal together as a church, I know that many of our people can't afford. Will they not come because they don't have to share? Will they feel bad, or will they feel left out and not come because they don't have much to offer? And I really struggled with it, and I was encouraged by an older, wiser missionary that they will find a way to come and fellowship and be a part, because you have a church that started, you have people that have been saved. Yes, they have a difficult time in Eastern Europe in a third world country, but they enjoy the fellowship of blessing others who are around them. So that's exactly what we did. I announced the fellowship we'll be having and some things coming up, and I was shocked and amazed where people would come to me after service and said, "Pastor, you know, I've had a good week with my chickens. I can bring some extra eggs. I've got a pig getting ready to come to slaughter. I'll go ahead and do it a little bit earlier. I think I could whack off that back leg and make a good roast for our fellowship." I was amazed that the people, even those that had very little, wanted to participate, wanted to come, and wanted to give, because they enjoyed the fellowship. They enjoy the prosperity. And for them, even though they were making a sacrifice of giving and feeding others because they had very little, it brought joy to their heart and to their soul of the aspect of giving. And dear friends, it's so important that for that aspect, it's better to have little with quietness and little with the fellowship and the sweetness in our services than to have much and take it for granted. Again, Solomon is stressing that value of quietness and peace. When there is an abundance, people will want to control it. And I think we see that a lot. When there is an abundance, people tend to rely upon it instead of God. Again, warnings and problems of abundance. If we have too much, do we want to control it? If we are blessed and have too much, do we rely upon it more than we rely upon God? We've heard the old expression, how do you give the man, how do you give the woman that has everything? Do we, if we're not careful, we rely on other things in our abundance and not relying upon God. They begin to focus, and again, those with abundance, they can focus more attentive on the abundance than upon their relationship with the Lord. See, the rich ruler struggled with this when he spoke to Jesus about eternal life in Luke chapter 18 and verse 22 and 23. Now, when Jesus heard these sayings, he said unto them, "Yet lackest thou one thing," saying unto a wealthy man, "sell all that thou hast and distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. See a couple things here. Number one, don't ask a question that you don't want the answer to. Especially when you're speaking to the Lord and looking at Scripture. And the next thing, it was more important to him of his possessions than it was to share or to follow the Lord Jesus. There's nothing wrong with having. There's nothing wrong with having an abundance. But does your abundance have you? Do the things have you that impact you? Another problem with abundance is the fact that folks sometimes get jealous because of the abundance that others may have. Solomon spoke of fighting at the feast as well. Some feasts can get out of control, and especially when drunkenness or sensual women characterize the feast. The alcohol loosens the tongue and the morals of those who partake of it. It is a common occurrence to say something that angers another or flirt with a woman or a man that belongs to another when you are intoxicated. When this happens, tempers flare and jealousy rages. Other folks may fight over money issues. What good is the abundance you have acquired if you cannot enjoy it, or if there's creating problems and stress in your life? Is it really worth it? As we think about the abundance of blessings we have here at Harvest Baptist Church, the abundance of friendship and fellowship that we have here, let's make sure that we're not taking advantage of it and we're not letting it overrule some things, that instead of enjoying it and sharing with one another in our fellowship and activities and in our service. We've been blessed with the abundance in this past year, been able to do several things around our campus and looking forward to doing it in the new year. And I'm just so pleased and honored as your pastor to see the cooperation and the willingness to help keep up with our facilities, to beautify things, and pitching in and helping others in time of need. When we have abundance, whether it be wealth, whether it be talent, or whatever it may be, and sharing that with others and helping our brother and sister in Christ. Some of the wealthiest people in the world are empty inside and miserable because of their wealth, which has fueled their wicked lifestyle and has created grief and sorrow for them. You see, God makes it clear that possessions apart from God will not satisfy you. That's why it's so important, whether we're opening our wallets, whether we're opening our safe, our gun safe, whether we're opening up a closet of many things that we have, are we reminded all that we have belongs to Him? I'm just holding it and using it for my Lord. He has entrusted me with it, and therefore I will use it and be a good steward, whatever that may be. And dear friends, that also includes our talents, using our God-gifted talents that we have in abundance to bless others, to encourage others, to help others. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Micah chapter 6, verse 12 through 14. For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. You see, wealth that is governed by the direction of the Holy Spirit can be a great tool of blessing to others in need and to the ministry, to the work of the Lord. Let me say that again. Wealth that is governed by the direction of the Holy Spirit can be a great tool of blessing to others in need and to the Lord's work. And let me emphasize again, there's many categories of wealth. It's not just finances, it's not just possessions, but it's also talent and abilities that we have that we can share or help others. You know, I'm going to take a moment, just a moment. I'll get back to my notes. We're almost done, and brag on my dad a little bit. I'm so blessed to have a father through the years that taught me to give, not just of my finances, but give of my time, my talents, and being willing to help others. I know we live in a different society today, but my dad was one of those guys that when someone was on the side of the road, broke down, he was the first to stop to help. It's hard to do that today. It's a scary thing, but that's who he was. If you talk to my dad and ask about his wealth, he'll tell you, well, wow, let me tell you about my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. That's where his mind goes to. Doesn't go to his home, doesn't go to his truck, doesn't go to his vehicles, doesn't go to his cabin in the woods. It doesn't go to his bank account. It goes to his family when you bring up the aspect and the idea of wealth. His family, my health. It may be broken down a little bit these days, but you know what? I can still get out of bed on my own. I may not be able to do what I used to, and they take me all day to trim the grass and cut the lawn, but I can still do it. To him, that is wealth. And don't miss the idea that I'm pushing this aspect of monetary giving. It's also the possessions that we have in the wilderness and what we look at as our wealth. As we invest in this new theme, the things that we're talking about, faith, family, and fellowship, how wealthy we are that we have the faith to believe and have given our life to Christ. How wealthy we are to have family and church family to fellowship and to worship with. How wealthy we are, again, that faith, family, and that aspect, again, of fellowship and enjoying each other's fellowship. Folks, I'll just be honest with you. I know we cut up a little bit in church, and I'll find illustration here and there like I did tonight and use humor to illustrate some things. But you know, there's also some laughter before service and after service among Christians who are just cutting up and talking, teasing, and just enjoying one another. Those are all good signs of a healthy church, enjoying the wealth, enjoying the blessings, enjoying the graciousness of our God who has bestowed these things upon us. Whatever God has provided for you, enjoy his blessings and learn to be content with what the Lord has provided for you. We have been studying over the last several weeks as we close problems that are linked with abundance. Problems that are linked, connected to abundance. So far, we have examined four elements: violent and ruthless men, fullness and loathing are problems linked to abundance, fury and a lack of self-control are lead to abundant problems, and then feasting can lead to, and feasting and conflict can cause an abundance of problems. And next week, we'll go a little further and look at fullness and no satisfaction. Can you imagine being full, but yet not satisfied? Looking around and seeing that I feel like I have all that I need or even want, but yet there is no satisfaction. We live in a world today where so many people do not know satisfaction. And the bottom line is two things. Either they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, so there's no satisfaction. Or if they do know the Lord, they haven't made the effort to grow in grace, to grow in the Lord, to find out the goodness of the Lord. As the psalmist says, taste and see. Dear friends, there is so much the Lord has for us and so much he has provided for us. Let's make sure that we're allowing the abundance of his blessings and the abundance of our talents to be used to serve and bless others and not hoarding abundance that would keep us and may cause the fury, the rage, the conflict, or the indulging as opposed to ministering unto others. Let's pray. Father, again, we do love you and praise you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Lord, help us as we strive to be men that are under control, men that have self-control, that do not respond in irritation and anger and outrage. But Father, we have conditioned ourselves or working toward that and allowing the Holy Spirit to work on our life. Help us to strive and always have the poise and self-control, having a heart toward the things of God and not allowing our heart to harden toward others or the things of God. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love as we have a time of fellowship and make our way home and rest tonight and continue the rest of the week. Lord, help us to look for opportunities to be a blessing. Help us to look for an opportunity to demonstrate our faith. Help us to look for an opportunity, Father, to bless a family member, a church family member. And Father, help us to make time to fellowship with others, especially family and church family that we might encourage. Now, Father, again, dismiss us with your love. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you and his preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.